there comes a time when you have to take off your kiddie pants and put on your dad pants.
We can't go on together without dad pants.
Without dad pants.
And we can't cook pork well without dad pants. And when a young dad I know listens to this shittiest show, he shouldn't believe a word we're saying.
Not a word he's saying.
Hello, everybody. It's the season finale. Series finale? Season. Which one is it? Season or series?
Series.
I think I used to know. But
Season, isn't it?
Season.
Season.
Wow. Season. Hope Davey and Dan's not listening.
unless this is it. Are we not doing this anymore?
Oh, you weren't in the
Is this the last one ever? Oh,
have we enlightened everyone? This is it? Like, we've done all our work here is done.
I think we imparted everything we knew a while ago.
I tell you what, though, my improvement.
Is somebody who's brought a pet cricket along to the
who's got a fidget?
I'm really sorry. It's me. I'm sitting here with a cable tie, and I put it around my hand and timed it, okay. And then went, "Oh shit, that was a really bad move." And currently trying to extract it. Maybe I could just tighten a little bit more.
Just save the BDSM for after the podcast. That's all right.
Just get a Stanley knife and just start cutting away from the outside in.
Yep. That's the best way to go.
No, look.
Por favor. I'm turning purple.
We're done for the year, but we might come back and do a Christmas special because that's what people do, don't they?
We love Christmas.
Love Christmas. How good's Christmas?
Well, keep that powder dry. Maybe not all of us love Christmas. We'll just let that sizzle.
Dun, dun, dun.
How are we, dads? Now, Monty's not here yet. We say yet. We assume he's coming. He's having some baby dramas, which is pretty fitting for the final show, don't you think?
He's being a dad, and this is what we kind of explained. And I'm not saying that he deserves it, but he was a little bit smug in the first couple of post-baby episodes about... Child going to sleep and everything's going really well. And I think it's, it's pretty simple. We're going to have no problems here. It's going to be straightforward. And
there you go.
Schadenfreude corner.
This is not the Schadenfreude panel.
Sorry. I'm still Schadenfreude. It's just, I think that I absolutely feel for him. I think that, but as you say, it's very appropriate.
I think it is Schadenfreude. I've had similar experiences where new parents tell me everything's going well and they've got it all sorted. And it's because of how well, they're prepared. And then a few weeks later.
They look like they've stuck their proverbials in a light socket.
What about while we're waiting to see if he comes, what about any fatherly tidbits from you fellows? Who's got anything they want to get off their dad chest?
Can I ask?
The dad chest is actually the same as your normal chest, except
it's a bit droopier.
Slightly man.
Just in the shed.
More man boob, probably. Than
a bit more side man boob. I've got a dad question for you because I was talking to year 12 students about advice that they got from their parents. And one of the students said their dad had told them that wherever you live, you should always be able to break into your own house.
Ooh.
And I thought,
interesting.
Let me ask the dads if you can break into your own house as a skill to have.
Yeah, I could, I reckon.
Yeah, I wouldn't have any dramas with that. The fact that I live in a country town and we don't really, everything's locked up very tight and secure. But there is one point of egress, which I will keep under wraps. This feels like a loaded question, Matthew. Are you actually trying to get us to reveal our hidden portals into our houses?
Do you have a portal? That sounds pretty good.
I feel like you're trying to extract my password on Facebook by asking what was your first pet? Where did you first work?
What's your father's maiden name?
Your father's maiden name.
Oh, yeah.
That's the name of the
pod. Modern society.
Let's not assume anything, all right?
No, of course not.
Don't you get your turfness all over me, boy.
Sorry.
There's only one kind of turf on here in this podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
Belligerent, Rich.
Yeah. I know. I'm just going to put it out there and say I'm a little bit giddy, shall we say? And it's been a while because I've pretty much got everything done for the year. So I've knocked off some very big ticket items over the last month or so, and the last one has just been slotted in, and so had a knocked over the best part of a bottle of homemade red. Courtesy of Joe the Fruiterer.
Not your homemade red.
Not mine. No, this is we've got plenty. There's heaps of awesome Italians around here, and they do lots of. We've got homemade limoncello, homemade pickles, and homemade red is a big thing going around. And he just kind of slots it into my fruit box.
Ooh.
So a little bit giddy. I will try and bring it down a notch, but
Please don't.
No, don't.
Yeah, I like giddy belligerent Ellis.
You need something a bit extra for the last episode, so may as well be you.
I'm just kind of excited. Everything's kind of
You know what that means, though, Ellis. You know what it means. You. It sounds like your professional life. You've ticked off all these boxes, so you know that tomorrow your wife will present you with the house list.
Yes.
Well, it's funny you say that. We've had the hot water service blow up literally this morning. So that's been done and replaced. But it seems to have affected all of the taps. So everything is linking at the moment.
Oh.
So I think I'll be going around with the
pressure issue.
Yeah, I don't know, mate. It's come on incredibly hot, I'll put it that way. Mm. And so I'll be going around and getting the old tight seal washers going. I think there was an older couple living here earlier, and they had the soft turns, and I don't think that they've held up under the strain. Mm. So we might have to get something a little bit more heavy duty.
Ellis, I just urge you to have caution when it comes to old taps. I've had both the front and back outdoor taps explode whilst I tried to fix them because they were leaking, and then as soon as I went to turn, that obviously hadn't been touched in 20 years. And as soon as I went to turn, both of them either snapped or like the whole washer system exploded out. And they
I really appreciate the caution.
Emergency plumber calls are not what I wanted.
Well, I was really relieved. I was really relieved the hot water service happened on a Tuesday morning. Like that is just amazing without holidays anywhere nearby. Normally it would happen on Easter Thursday at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get anyone out until at anything less than quadruple time the following Tuesday. So that was, I felt blessed. Like, if you're going to have your hot water go, that's the time for it to happen.
Finally.
This is our first house. And so normally when you're renting, I used to try and fix things sometimes. And then I was like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. This is my house. Stress. I don't care. So I figured out how to do it, but never actually did it because I thought if I stuff it up, I'm in big trouble. But I'm like, I'll go around and I'll give it a crack. So stay tuned for the Christmas episode.
Ellis's house has exploded.
Ellis underwater, yeah.
Are you going to run some piping to that cubby house that you – oh, no, hang on, that's right.
The cubby house is in Fiji. What's wrong with that? Who cares?
Yeah, that's right.
That's been a bit of a financial stress on that. I'll tell you what, because we got a great deal, living the dream, great deal on the holiday. And then, have to get kids' passports, fair enough.
Yes.
Then wonderful, beautiful wife just remembered that she happens to be a UK citizen. So now we have to get a re-entry visa for her. So we're out for 800 just on immigration. And then you've got to get COVID tests now as well. And you've got to pay for these ones. You can't, unless you're saying, and this is the, I reckon that they're going to say, unless she's presenting with symptoms. I reckon if you turn up and say you've got symptoms and try and get a free one, they're going to say, you're not allowed to travel because you turned up with symptoms. they're 150 a pop. And then on the back.
Oh, my God. Wait, is that there and back?
And the ones in Fiji are 300 a pop. So we're looking at a good extra two big ones we're dropping down. on top of everything else before we've even left the ground. So buyer beware at the moment. COVID travel is not a cheap thing. It's worth every penny, don't get me wrong.
Who's doing those? To Dadwinge.
Yeah.
It's the...
He's going to Fiji and it's annoying him, but... What? But seriously, great, who does the test? Is that run by the airlines? Because that'd be some nice price gouging that they could.
Oh no, it's done by the same pathology. It has to be done by the same pathology groups. But as I say, because you can't present a text message, you need to have an actual certificate to say that you've tested clear within the last 72 hours prior to your flight.
Jesus.
And same with the one at the other end, like to get back into Australia. So they've got they're pretty tight on what they're expecting. So as I say, the thought did cross my mind of, oh, you know, you just turn up and say, I think I might have some symptoms. But then as soon as you test clear, you're fine. But if you turn up saying you've had symptoms, I think that might come back and bite you in the bum.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Jesus.
Anyway, well, that's my price gouging whinge.
Yeah, well, I wish that segment had started earlier in the year. I have it every week.
I'll bring it along. I'll bring it.
Now, as the son of an electrician, I'd be interested in your take on this, guys. As a son of an electrician, I'm less worried about dealing with electrical problems than I am water problems. Water problems really stress me out and worry me. Or plumbing problems, etc., but much less so than anything electrical that needs looking at. Is that am I an outlier there? Or
I think so. I get very wary about electricals. I think the plumbing is essentially water based Lego. You can kind of and plumbers even treat it like that. Like I think that working in hospitality, where I spend a lot of time under sinks and sorting out dishwashers and jerry-rigging things up on a Thursday night before Easter Sunday because the boss wasn't happy to get a plumber out to try and fix your ice machine for the weekend and you've managed to sort something out, I'm much more comfortable dealing with the plumbing land than I am with the electrical land. Yeah.
But what's pushing the water up the pipes? How's it get up there?
Pressure pushing down on me.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, Buckland, that the worst thing that's going to happen to me is I'm going to get wet rather than dead.
But no, and same with my family. What about fucking up some pipes that you can't get to? That's a worry.
If you're getting to that point, I think it's time to call a plumber. Like if you're needing to dig up your front yard and you could, you know, and you're going to put a shovel through your sewage pipe, then I think it's time to call a plumber.
Yeah.
But whereas, I'm the same. Like that electrical, it jumps, Buckland.
Yeah, I understand but maybe I'm less worried about the electrical because if I stuff the job up, then I won't be around to deal with the shame.
What kind of electrical stuff are you doing yourself? See, I know that because we've got like there's like, you know, Tony's family's plenty of tradies. And he's a sparky. He refuses to. His license is expired, and he refuses to do work for his family because his license is expired. I'm not a licensed electrician. Yeah. I refuse to do it. Like he's really, really adamant that you know you don't touch anything unless you're a licensed sparky.
Yeah.
So I'm not having a go at you. I'm just worried. I'm just interested to hear what.
No, Buckland, are you showing your Sparky's license as a text message?
it's on my COVID check-in app, just flashing at people whenever I go in anywhere. No, I'm not claiming to be a Sparky. I'm just saying that the idea of it is less worrisome than water for some reason. We've probably spent enough time on my electrical v. water concerns. Let's move to some real meaty issues. We go, you always try and do it, but I'm not going to let you get away with it. Last week, you teased something and said, well, that's a story for another day. Well, this is another day. So we're going to have that story. I mentioned petrol mowers and you said you had a petrol mower story.
Well, actually, Buckland, I've got an electric whippersnipper story. Oh. Now, I...
Can't get away from electrics. Can we just clarify, is this corded or battery?
Battery.
Battery, okay.
Now, I look down on corded. That's ridiculous.
Come on, Mr. You get a fly mo out there any day of the week, but
any Anytime I think of corded electrical lawn equipment, I get nervous because I put a hedger through a through a power cable at one stage.
Oh, I did that
while I was on a ladder.
Oh, I did that exact same thing. Oh my god! And it shut down the entire house.
Pretty much. Yep.
Yeah.
It was one of the more, and pardon the pun, but it was quite shocking in the sense that I was absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But when everything stops and you realize what you've done.
15 years earlier, it would have been a very different story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that,
I just had folks are dumb where I come from. It just echoing through my head after I'd done it. It was just that, oh, shit.
So what do you want to tell us about this?
I'm just going to stop you there. So, Wiggins, you've got a battery-powered whippersnipper. Is that what you're telling me?
No. So I have a petrol-powered whippersnipper and I have a petrol-powered mower. But my petrol whippersnipper, which is a one pull start guaranteed, didn't start, right? So I had to borrow a battery powered whippersnipper because it was the only one that was available to me at the time. And as is my wont, I do not like to half job the lawn. Right, so I wanted to do the edges before I actually mowed the lawn. Couldn't do the edges. Now, I know this is blasphemy, but it was really good.
Yeah,
I was able to do all the edges.
I don't think it's blasphemy, but I think that you need to. And this is the thing with battery powered whippersnippers: you need to have a good, decent one.
Yes,
now, it has to be. And like, unfortunately, you're looking at brushless. You're looking at least a decent, it still needs to have the double spindle on it. Like, you know, you can't get away. I had a Ryobi one, just the Ryobi one, the basic model. Yep. And I literally snapped it in half because it was just sending me insane trying to do the edges with it. It's okay for when you're trying to get under, like, you know, your whippersnipping per se, but any kind of edging, anything else, it's just a nightmare.
Yeah, as soon as you're trying, you broke it in the it was so flimsy it broke, or did you?
I literally cracked the shits and snapped it in half over my knee because I was like, "This is the most ridiculous piece of shit I've ever used in my life." And it was that thing of, you know, we went down the Ryobi One Plus path.
Yep.
And so, and that was like the first thing I bought with it. And so everything else has kind of followed along with it.
Yep.
And that everything else has been fine. But that one thing was just, it was terrible. It is a terrible piece of equipment. Sorry, Ryobi. I endorse your drills and vacuum
blowers.
Yeah, they're all the good. Like. But yeah, no way.
All right.
Well, it's never terrible.
It does beg the question, though, and I'm sure this will cause a bit of debate. And I have heard this discussed on the Hello Sport podcast before, which for any Aussie listeners interested in sport, very good, funny Aussie sport podcast. They nick a little bit from Roy and HG sometimes, but if you look past that.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, who would do that?
It's pretty good, but they did have a debate, and which your comment before reminded me of. You edge then mow rather than mow then edge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
it's like colouring in, Stu. Like you do all around the edges seams. First.
You've got to get the seams right,
and then you can just go hell for leather through the middle.
It's like jam and cream on scones.
You guys must have a level of mowing confidence I don't have. I'll tell you why. Because what I'm worried about is if I whip a snip first and then mow, what if there's a little bit of a miss with the whippersnipper first time round that I can't reach with the mower? Then I've got to pull the whippersnipper out again. I'm double snipping.
You'll learn, Buckland. You'll learn.
I told you I've got a tricky backyard. It's not a square.
Yeah, that's right.
Guys, it's not a square. I can just go on autopilot. It's difficult.
My front yard has six sections, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Can I suggest the next time some coordinated mowing between Ellis and Buckland, where they play some kind of lawn battleship, if they could grid up the lawn?
I thought you were going to say lawn dueling banjos or something.
No.
All right.
Get the whippersnapper.
That was battery powered.
All right. So, Matt, you don't have a lawn, but would you always snip before mowing? Do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I don't have a lawn, but I'm such a lawn outlier. I'm from a lawn mowing background.
Oh,
so
you are too.
So it's kind of it's the irony is I don't have a lawn, but it's what I grew up with. It's kind of
it doesn't matter.
It's in your blood.
It's in my blood. I'm trying to deny it. I'm trying to move away and never have a lawn again. But
would your dad be having palpitations listening to me talking about mowing first, then sniffing?
I don't know. I actually don't know. I'm gonna have to ask him.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just listen to you saying. I think that he'd disown me if I ever came home and suggested that I'd mowed first and then whippersnip second.
I see. Off the top of my head, I would suggest that he would have mown first. But I don't know. That's not something I ever thought about. Yeah, but I'd certainly do the edges first.
Obviously, the attraction of mowing second is obviously you can collect up all your snippings in your mower. I understand that. But still, just the idea.
Well, maybe you're right, Buckland. Maybe it is just a flex game. It's like just this is how confident I am in my lawn mowing abilities. I've never really thought about it. It's just what you did.
Well, you know what? I'm going to move on from that. Talking about your family, Richard. We've had a bit of correspondence to the Dad Pants podcast. And
not Dad, was it?
No. And you know, a theme of the last few episodes has been Monty being a psychopath, dropping stuff in other people's bins. So, Nathan Ellis, your brother, had something to say about that. He says, just like to say, some F-wit, no, wait, let's call them some fuck W, has put multiple bags of nappies into our bin, and it was brought back in at a reasonable time after I got home from work. My normal waste bin does not get collected for 2 weeks now with baby poo in it. It's not really a question. It's just he heard that we changed to dad whinge. So, yeah.
That's a new level of, like, fuckutery. Like,
I want a fuckutery.
You're bored.
Exactly.
Like waiting, like they've waited until the bin's been collected before chucking in their nappy shit. Like that's psychotic.
Yeah.
I'm upset. I'm very
living
upset.
We're living in a society, people, and you just don't recognize that.
Oh, do we assume Nathan wants some advice on what to do about this? I mean,
well, burn that bin first of all.
Is there any way of are we going to have to start putting CCTV cameras on our bins? Is that what's going to have to start happening now?
Should he? Has he got a chest freezer that he can wrap those nappies up in and freeze them prawn head style until 2 weeks from now?
I think that's a bad idea.
Bad idea. Okay, fair enough.
If you're going to freeze them, the only thing you do with them is send them through the front window of the person when you find out who it is. You put them in the freezer till they're rock hard and send them nappy through gun. The front window. Yeah.
Nappy gun. Oh, God.
So, sorry. Just because we just did mention the word charcuterie, there is a trend this Christmas moving away from gingerbread houses to charcuterie chalets, which is basically just meat and biscuits and cheese and breadsticks and little tidbits. So I would highly recommend any of our listeners out there to search for a charcuterie chalet and put that on your Christmas feast menu because they look amazing, full of meat and cheese and bread. Ooh, happy hours delight.
Unreal.
Does anyone actually like gingerbread, really? What is it?
Oh, I like gingerbread. It's delicious.
Okay, but that's a yes.
Yeah.
No, I'd take it or leave it.
Yeah, I'm a bit the same. I think if you're making it from scratch, it's probably delicious, but most of it's just store-bought is cardboard,
yeah.
Really.
It's cardboard with icing, yeah.
Maybe because I got an Aldi one last time. Nasty. The other piece of correspondence we've had is from Christopher Saville, who simply says, I want a dad pants t-shirt. So,
Christopher, what would you like on this t-shirt?
Yeah, good question. I plan to get around to doing some t-shirts. Currently jobless, so that's not high up my priority list.
I thought it'd be top of your priority list.
Yeah, no, what else do you do?
Nothing else to do now. Fucking hell. Yes. That's t-shirts. This could be an insane $2 per sale.
No, that's okay.
In your back pocket there, Buckland.
I'm more worried about...
After you've shared it, 50 cents each. Okay,
I'm more worried about my wife going, what's this, $300 charge on our bank account? Oh, some people wanted some dad pants shirts, so I had to get them made and sent out across the country.
Hey, we can send them around across the world. He's got a ton.
Yeah.
It
will happen at some point, Christopher. But you know what doesn't cost anything and can happen almost instantly? You giving us an iTunes review. How about that? All right. Oh, we've got a couple of topics here we could possibly go on to. We've been waiting to talk about kids' birthday parties for a while. Did anyone want to have a chat about that? Did anyone have an angle to take with that?
I think that the reason that it came up originally is that I took my 9-year-old to a birthday party where every single student from her class was invited. So there were about 26 kids invited, and I thought, is there a cap you should be putting on kids' birthday parties, or is that telling us something? Like, why are you inviting every single member of your class? That seems excessive.
At 9 years old, you'd think you would have whittled down.
Yeah, for sure. Nine seems, I think 5 maybe. Like, if you've got a small under 20 kindergarten class, you just kind of invite everyone with the expectation that maybe, 70% might turn up on a good day.
Mm. Yeah.
Then that's kind of fair. Right?
I think kindergarten is, I'm going to invite every single person that I've ever met to my birthday party. Yeah. That's what happens. But at 9, it was like, I found it kind of off-putting. I was like, why is everyone from this class here? Surely they don't all like each other.
Is it a small school? Like, do they have consistently the same classes the whole time? Or this is like a brand new class and everyone in that class, regardless of their previous relationships, are all at this party?
Well, it was kind of like the end of, halfway through the year or something. So
yeah.
It was, I don't think it was.
Still
finding themselves, exactly. It was unusual, and I thought, what would you cap? You got a 9-year-old's birthday party. You got to have a cap on that, surely. You can't have 26 9-year-olds.
Is it a flex?
I don't think it's a flex. I think
it's a call for inclusivity.
That's a stretch. That's what it is. Yeah. That's a stretch.
Or is it fear of it's kind of bullying to exploit people?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes.
I think our cancel culture has forced this upon this poor family. They don't want to feel the wrath of those keyboard warriors suggesting that they dare exclude any child from their kid's party. And I, for one, will stand up for their rights to invite who the fuck I want to my kid's party.
All right. Well, here's a question. Let's say you got a class of 20 and your kid gets on with pretty much everyone, but you don't want to invite 20.
Yeah.
How many can you exclude before it doesn't look like you're just excluding particular people?
Right. Yeah. So you can't go, all right, there's 20 kids in this class. I'm inviting 19.
Yeah.
We can only invite 10 for the sake of not 10. Looking like you're picking
people. I think so.
Absolutely.
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think 10, anything less than that, and you're really starting to put on some, you're living in the danger zone.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. I was about to live in bloody. In the well danger zone. I was going to say 6. I was going with 6.
Oh, no, that's good. That's good. I think 10
is better.
10 and under.
Yeah, less is better. Yeah. Less is better. Anything and it also more than depends. 10. It depends where, like the flex that you said before, Buckley, it depends on where you're having the party. So if it's just out, this was just outdoors at a park, then it's not as much of a flex as if it was something where you're paying money per head.
So yeah, that's not.
See, yes, the outdoors park party,
that's more of a
you need to really. It's filler. That's what they're looking for.
It's almost play date.
They're looking for filler. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's borderline play date as opposed to party.
Yeah.
That's play date with a snack. That's not a party.
That's play date with a cake.
Play date with a snack.
Now, all right. Here's another hot take, if you like. And I've mentioned this before, but, you know, I want to reinforce it out there for everyone listening. My strong opinion is, speaking of flexing, party flexing, my strong opinion is that if you're organizing a big fancy party for a kid that's under, say, 4 or 5, you're just flexing on the other parents.
Yeah.
That the kid.
See, we had one for Tilly because we were moving away from Wollongong, and she had some close friends from kinder, like preschool and stuff. And we invited, like, she had like 8 or 9 friends, and we invited family and stuff like that, expecting that no one would come. Right. And then everyone came. And of course, when you invite the kids at that age, their parents come as well, and siblings come as well. And so it ended up being, we thought, oh, you know, we'll have like 10 kids. It ended up being like 20 kids plus siblings plus parents. So we had like 50 kids, and it was okay, but it was just that thing of that got out of hand very quickly without us really considering the consequences.
I guess I'm talking about number of people plus fanciness and level of
well,
level
I think a flex, a simple flex, especially when they're young, especially when they're babies. I remember going to like 1-year-old, 2-year-old's birthday parties. The flex is the smash cake, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, here's your, but we made a birthday cake everyone's going to eat, but here's a cake that my 1-year-old's just going to grab and smash into their face that I just made separate. And it's a decorated cake as well, just for them to destroy it's with their hands.
Like Homer's cake that he's
bakery
in the ruin.
Yeah, exactly right, for you to destroy. The first time I saw that, I felt like just, you know, doing the Magatu and just saying, I feel like I've taken crazy pills. Has everyone lost their minds? What is going on? Why is this fine?
But who's with me? Like, isn't it like, you know, the kid's not going to remember until they're 4 or 5. Who remembers anything before the age of 4 or 5?
Kids' parties, anything 3 and under is for the family and the parents.
But they would be equally excited in front of a PlayStation with, you know, a few cupcakes.
Yeah, guaranteed. But you could just tell them, like, any random day is their birthday, here's a cake, and hooray.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the easy thing as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm just waiting for the day that we go through the photo albums and George sits there and asks, why has Tilly got all these birthday parties?
Well, we didn't have a camera then. We forgot the camera.
Mum kept forgetting the camera. That's what happened.
So this last year, we had said at the beginning of the year that each of our children would be able to have a birthday party. Because it's not something that we usually do. Like, we'd probably have a, you know, like a family get together and that'd be about it. But this year, Harvey's in March. Louis,
are you saying this coming year or the year's?
No, sorry, 2021. So this year just passed. Yeah. So Rosie's in Feb, Harvey's in March, and Louis in August. So the first two parties, no dramas at all. Louis comes around.
Oh, yes, of course.
Lockdown.
COVID party. Birthday boy.
There was a bunch of them. And one of the stranger ones was Louis wasn't too fussed, but it was sad for him because this was going to be birthday party year and he didn't get one.
So is that it? Have you said to him, no, I'm sorry.
Sorry, buddy, you missed out.
You had your chance.
You missed out.
Yeah, it was this year.
He gets one next year. He's already written that in his contract.
They're talking about a new variant, though, so.
It's an August variant.
But the best thing was is that one of his schoolmates was having a birthday party around the same time, and they decided to do a Zoom party for him. Which we thought was, oh, you know, that's a great idea. That is absolutely awesome. Mm. So we organized, you know, to be ready at that time. And, you know, Lou was logged into the Zoom. Everyone logged in. They sang happy birthday and shut it down. It literally went for about 8 minutes.
Wow.
How do we feel about that?
Stop. Answer that question after this break.
Watching the clock. That's right.
Okay, so.
Fresh are the flowers scenting the air. Fresh is the feeling of wind in your hair. Fresh is the flavor of Alpine. Fresh is the mist that drips from a fountain. Fresh is the rush of skis down a mountain. Fresh is the flavor of Alpine. Fresh is the thrill of a strange new city. Fresh is the moment he tells you you're pretty. Fresh is the spray of a cool waterfall. Fresh are the times when you're having a ball. Fresh is the flavor of Alpine.
The flavor of Alpine. A blend of mild tobacco and menthol, giving you flavor and freshness, refreshing your taste.
Fresh is the flavor of Alpine.
Medical authorities warn that smoking is a health hazard.
Every day there's so much to do. City living catches up with you. You gotta work and sleep and socialize too. No time to think in this human zoo. Weekends up and you shine the car. Listen to the radio, your favorite pop star. Must escape from the sheep in the streets. Bye bye, find someone you like and hit the town. Hey babe, it's a beautiful day. Fill up the tank and we're on our way. But we gotta look after this escape machine. So we go for the petrol that's nice and clean.
Sorry about the abrupt end to that first half. We are expert clock watchers, as you all know. Now, Ben had told us that his son's birthday Zoom had a bit of an abrupt end to it. And Richard, you had thoughts.
I did, because and I feel very sorry for the poor lad in question, but having run multiple Zoom meetings for children within this age group and younger, I do have certain sympathies, and it does take, it sounds like a good idea, and it sounds like it's something which doesn't need preparation, but they need to be entertained. They're looking at a screen, and kids need to have something going on. And I've got to say that Tilly had a very similar situation. She had a young fella at her school who, you know, he had his party and it was cancelled, and then it was like we thought, oh, one more week, and then it was cancelled the next week. And what the mum did, she actually came around to the house with and dropped in the letterbox, because everyone wasn't allowed to go in or anything, but she dropped in the letterbox a series of clues and then ran a treasure hunt on Zoom from our house. So Tony went to the letterbox and got out all of the envelopes, and then they were put in like just very reasonable places around the house, like the sock drawer and the washing basket and all the way around the house. And so, they had this Zoom treasure hunt. So they'd go and grab a clue and then come back, and everyone would sit down and they'd read it all together. You know, they're kindy kids, so they had the opportunity to sit and read it all. And then, oh, this is what the next clue is. And they'd all run off to find the next clue, and they'd all come back and read the next one together. And it was really cool. It was a really, really good little experiment. And then the final clue led her out to the letterbox, where she got like a little bag of lollies and stuff, which was cool. A really lovely little Zoom party, if you're going to do it.
Yeah,
I think the lesson is definitely be prepared. Things online, kids have very high expectations as soon as things appear on a screen.
Yes. I think that's tremendous advice, Ellis.
And they took all the dillies out of that sock drawer, didn't they?
Most of them.
Most, okay, good. Most. That's all right. You can allow a slide dilly here and there.
On the ground, it's a slide dilly.
There's nothing like a slight dilly.
Dad, why have you got a rocket ship in your drawer?
I mean,
that's for the pool.
And so tell us how he felt after that, Ben.
Well, Lou was sort of fine. It was Linz and I that just sort of, he was just sort of like, oh, okay, no worries. And the funny thing was that Lou jumped off that Zoom and then just got into another chat with his two best mates. Like, 3 minutes after,
right,
he's in a completely separate chat with his mates. And Linz and I were sort of sat there looking at each other going, that was super quick. Like, did something happen? And Lou was like, no, we're just saying him happy birthday. He cut the cake. We left.
I reckon they should just bring that into real world kids' parties. Turn up, sing happy birthday, see you later, everyone.
Okay. Here's a present. See you later.
Now, speaking of like being rude to people.
Mind the dilly on your way out.
grab it from the bowl. When I'm trying to think how old, I think when Violet was 5 or 6, Juz's mum was always like, why are these parents sticking around? It was always a bugbear of hers of just, we're having this party, it's for the kids. Now there's parents, we have to provide them with coffee and give them a piece of cake. I'm over it. So I think it was when she was 6, she just decided, just tell them, tell on the invite, say, feel free to drop off your kids. And she said, and then that'll stop them. We said, no, some parents will just stay. And so she made a point of when the parents stayed of giving all of bringing a coffee to me and not to the parents. And then when the cake came out, cake for all the children, cake. None for the parents. Didn't take any cake. Like she said, why are they here? You can go. Oh, yeah, we've got them. You can go. And no, they stayed. She was like, we're not entertaining
them. That takes some energy to maintain that kind of front.
Yeah.
Yeah, it certainly does.
aggressive stance.
I love it. I was like,
do I need to bring some certification that my child's anaphylactic and it's probably best that I stay there just in case?
Well,
something happens, and I know that's probably a different side to the story, and not necessarily as funny.
What's the Juzzy position on that? Does we go get cake if he's got a child?
You can stay, more than welcome to stay. You're just not getting any cake.
Cake. Fair enough. I kind of feel the same way. I think it's fair. Okay. I'm not saying I would treat people like that, but at the same time, I wouldn't begrudge anyone who treated me like that. I'll put it that way. That would be my stance on it. I'm more than happy to give someone some coffee and cake. That's not a drama. If the kids have all had some, everyone's had something,
I think
knock
it would
yourself
look,
out.
I don't really like
cake.
I think it
would be the thing is, go on, go and buy a cake on your way home, Dad.
Okay.
So Matt, I know you.
Yeah.
You would have been looking around at their faces while Juz was deliberately handing cake out to other people and then skipping past them.
No, it was Juz's mum.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. I was watching their face. Are you suggesting I was watching with glee just to see how they would react?
No, just knowing, I just want to know what kind of, were they visible reactions?
I'm saying your Werner Herzog interior monologue.
Oh, without a doubt. I was like, it was fantastic. They were just like confounded. And they were just like, oh, maybe they didn't see me. Like you can see them reach for it and as it just went straight past them.
Uh-huh.
Or I can't remember. Maybe it was just, here is the cake is brought out for the kids. Here's a slice. And then she removed the cake before the parents had a chance to get
in. That was
going to
be my next question.
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
Some people would have kind of said, oh, any cake left?
No, she whipped that cake out of the way so there was no way to get it.
I don't know if I'd ask for cake, but I'd definitely take it if it was offered.
Exactly
to me.
Right. So that was how she played it. That's why it was more passive aggressive in that now you have to ask for cake.
Oh, did anyone ask?
And you're not going to do it. Wow. Yeah, I don't think anyone asked for cake.
Oh, that's incredible. Imagine being the person that asked for cake and got denied.
You'd only ask if it was still on the table. If they would get away, then
that triggers my anxiety.
No, Buckland. Anyone that is going to ask for cake is going to ask for cake whether it's there or not. Like that's.
Do you think?
They just really want cake.
I understand the desire for cake. I'm saying that they were taking it off the table, removing it from sight is a pretty clear message.
Yeah, and quickly.
kids.
But all what I'm saying is that someone that wants a piece of cake has no social, has no capacity to understand that the cake being put away
means they're not getting cake.
They don't get cake.
I think you're. I think you're generalizing cake fanciers there a bit too much with broad brush strokes there. Sorry, Rich. You were saying something, pal.
No, that's all good.
All right. How's that homemade wine going?
Yeah, good. Yeah, he's trying this. He's going. This stuff. We're into the second bottle, so it's some good stuff. It's very, very fruity, I've got to say. Very, very fruity. It's quite delicious. It's really
Sunraysia fruity.
Absolutely.
All right. What about, have we had enough of kids' birthday parties? What about family car trips? That was another topic that was thrown up there.
I've had a couple recently, of family car trips. One which was 5.5 hours and one which was about 2 and a bit. Now, strangely enough.
Why are you getting so many holidays?
Oh, they just get planned and I just have to show up.
Oh, right.
Welcome to Wiggins' life.
Strangely enough, I feel like the home trip is better than the going there is always more stressful than the going home.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Because you don't know if you've forgotten anything. You're sitting there the whole time going, oh, fucking have I got to the, oh, where's the EpiPen? Oh, I've got but oh, what about the traffic? If we don't get there on time, we've got to
Whereas you're going home, to your house with your family. Yep. No one else.
You know exactly what to expect.
Yeah. Yes. Do you often holiday with the baldy man, Rich?
Quite regularly, yes.
If only. I
get my Hamlet cigars and
people all know who the baldy man is, won't they?
Yep. Absolutely.
Canadian listeners, did you have the baldy man in Canada? Anyway.
Yes, the drive home, yes. Drive home's always easier.
Now, what is the preferred? Who gets to do the playlist in the car? Is it the driver? Is it the passenger? Do the kids get a say in the playlist? What happens in the car in that regard?
See, good question. We've got a bit of a. Our kids are incredible in the car, and so we're incredibly blessed and fortunate and everything else because of that. Especially considering we do quite a lot of long trips. So, and this is the thing, like during the year we do very, very minimal travel, and then all of a sudden we'll drag their asses for, you know, 25 hours straight driving and they just have to deal with it. So they're incredibly adaptable, but they're also, we have succumbed to the screens and I'm in two minds about it. Like, I think that at the end of the day, fuck it. Like, they can sit and they can watch. We've got like just, quite crappy DVD players. Like, you know, it's not like they're sitting there playing games or anything like that. They're just watching movies and TV shows. And we
what
kind
a great
of
great way to educate them on movies though. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, this is it. Like, you know, we put a couple of classics on there and then they've got their crap that they're loving to watch at the moment. Mind you, there's some good little animations going on at the moment. But anyway,
Paul Wayne Hansen animation series coming out. You might want to
I can't wait for that. That sounds phenomenal.
You heard about
that? Is Craig Kelly gonna be in there as well?
No, but there was a no. I'm not going to go into that. Extremely topical and irrelevant. Won't bother with that. Sorry, mate.
Let's get back to the baldy man.
But yeah, so I miss car games. This is my big thing to parents at the moment. Is so many kids are coming to school with no language, and I'm not talking about they're not being read to. They're not being spoken to, and so having that opportunity to talk to your child. For hours on end, it sounds ridiculous and it's annoying, and I know that it's boring. And giving kids the opportunity to be bored as well, I think are really important things. And it sounds kind of nihilistic and kind of a bit dickhead kid who had to put up with it, driving in a Datto 180B with no air conditioning and a cassette tape, which would run out of power after about an hour and a half when you were barely past Newcastle when you're on the way to Broken Hill for 12 hours. Jesus. And being resentful of your kids getting sit in the back of the car and watch movies for hours on end. But it's not just that.
That was some good processing of past traumas there, Ellis. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
You're in a safe space.
I just think that there's, and so we do kind of do the restrictive. We do kind of a couple of hours on, a couple of hours off.
Well, Ellis,
have a bit of a chat.
I'm here to help you out in this regard.
Yeah.
Because I've got a couple of great car games. Two great car games, which I think someone posted something online and I thought, oh, I'll give them a go with the kids, and they just work gangbusters. Awesome. Okay.
Bring it on.
The first one is World's Leading Expert, where you pick a member of the family and you introduce them by saying, we are very blessed today to be joined by the world's leading expert in, and then you make up a random topic.
Nice.
And then they present as if they are experts in that field.
Yeah.
And sometimes it'll be like, you know, whales. And so they'll talk about whales. But sometimes it'll be like, how come you lose socks? And then tariffs. They have to be, yeah.
Tariffs.
Yep. 1970s oil crisis. You know, like whatever you want to do.
Trade embargoes.
And then they have to go. They have to just talk about it as if they're experts. And the odder the topic, the better it gets. And it starts off pretty limited, but doing it with both my kids, the more we did it, the longer the explanations went, and the start fielding questions.
So is it set up like a bit of an interview scenario? Like you sit down and you ask them, do you promote that kind of, rather than just leaving them to it?
Especially if they're struggling a bit, you know, like, well, all right, we're going to throw it open for some questions. And then it just keeps going and going and going. So there's that one. The other one is, I don't know, I can't remember what we called it, but it's basically that fucking shits me. But obviously changing it for your children's, which is a similar thing where you go, right.
So that fucking annoys me instead.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right. So your topic is trees.
This fucking cunt.
And so you have to talk about trees and all the things that are annoying about trees.
Negative things about trees.
And then they just go and go on there. And that's another one, which starts off and they might do it a bit. And then they get into it.
Jacarandas.
Yeah. Jacarandas. Don't get me started. Oh, that's what it's called. Don't get me started.
Jacarandas.
Don't get me started. So you say, all right, Jack. Yeah. And everyone has to start by, like, so you say, right, go about jacarandas. And
don't get me started on jacarandas.
And then they go. So they're two excellent games. That's a
podcast idea right there.
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
Forget the car trip.
That's great.
Get Me Started is a great podcast name.
Yeah. Oh.
Bags it.
Oh, all right. You're going to do that when?
I finished my master's and I'm not on class. I'm...
Do it.
Living alive.
All right.
Living alive.
Ooh, yeah, we play games as well. I'm going to have a crack at those games because they're great. We play the old I Spy, which is obviously a favorite. Mm-hmm. We play Last Letter, where you've got to pick a genre like animals, and then I'll say badger. And then he's got the next person's going to say, yeah.
Dead
yeah.
rabbit. I mean, yeah, rabbit. Sure.
It's the only kind we know. Yeah. So there's that. And there's, you know,
my kids are obsessed with 20 questions. Like we sit around and it's kind of a bit embarrassing. And because, you know, Georgie's three and he's gunning it. Like he absolutely understands how to play the game. He does a really good job. And he comes up with one. You kind of sit there going, oh, does he really know what he's doing? And then he comes out with exactly what he's talking about. You're like, holy shit, how did you know that? Like, you know, he answers all the questions absolutely perfectly. So, you know, there's some really good, like, that kind of stuff. As I say, devoting a bit of time to a bit of everything in the car trip is really important.
Yeah.
Wiggins, what's your go-to games?
Hang on, I was still going.
Sorry.
The other one was, and this might be one that you all might enjoy. It's a pretty simplistic story game where, you know, everyone just says one word. Create a story. Everyone just says one word and the next person's got to say the next word, dot, dot, dot.
Ah.
It started out, you know, when the kids are a bit younger, being kind of a bit funny and weird. But now these days it's just, you know, countdown till someone says poo, bum, nutsack. you know.
It works on me, Buckland. It's
true. How good is Nutsack as a turd?
So,
it's still good, yep.
Buckland, is it your wife that introduces Nutsack into that particular game? Is that the...
that and I any other game.
Put my... Dead rabbit.
Nutsack.
Yeah.
So usually that was his name. That's the name of the rabbit.
Yeah. But usually you can get, you know, you take 10 words and under, usually, until turds or whatever, or farts or whatever were mentioned.
Yeah. Those over-unders are pretty good, Wiggins.
Yes. Sorry. We go. Do you have car games?
Well, we introduced kids trivia on one of the. On one of the longer trips, and that gets requested quite a lot. But the thing with that is that you've got to allow, because we've got an age group of, you know, like Rosie was 4 when we introduced it. So there's a real, you know, 4 to 11 at that stage.
Stop having kids. You'll make the games easier to play in the car.
That's right.
Or at least group them closer together.
So, yeah, that's right. So there's a lot of I Spy. There's a lot of, there's a lot of kids trivia. That's the one that really engages them the most for the longest period of time. It's fun.
Yeah, right.
It's trivia, right.
Have you tried any of the kids podcasts? Like Short and Curly's pretty good. Definitely recommend that one for the kids. Really, really recommend that one. That's really good. There's some really good ABC Kids podcasts.
Yeah, so, they're competing with them.
Nah, they're 15 minutes long. They're perfect. Like 15 minutes long is a nice little break it up type thing and really interesting topics and give you some really good little insights. And there's there's another one where they do some kind of more Short and Curly's the kind of philosophical issues, and there's another one which does kind of kid sciencey type stuff.
There's one called Dylan used to listen to. It was really good.
Yeah, there's some really good kids podcasts, so give those a crack as well.
We had done some Audible with some Roald Dahl, was good.
Oh, cool.
George's Marvelous Medicine, outstanding.
Well, look, we're a fair way into this episode and Monty hasn't shown up, so I'm going to have to go ahead and guess that he's not coming, which pretty much knackers the last bit that I had planned. But
we can crush some dreams.
Oh, yeah, crush some dreams crush for some us. Dreams. So hang on, is this Christmas-related dreams?
Well, it's kind of Christmas. It's a bit everything-related. The reason that I came up with the thought was... sitting around the dinner table and having my absolutely wonderful, adorable, gorgeous 6-year-old sing like she was being pulled through a bandsaw and saying,
oh, I see.
I'm going to be a singer when I grow up.
Right.
And she comes, to be fair, she comes up with songs and she's got some incredible lyrics, but white bitch can't sing. And it's just that thing of, you know, at what point do you let a child know that this isn't going to happen for you? Like, obviously, at 6, that's probably a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Crushing singing dreams. But she's pretty adamant that she's going to become a singer when she's old. And I keep saying to her, oh, you write some great songs. Maybe you'll be a famous songwriter. And she's like, yeah, and singer. I said, yeah, but mainly writing the songs for people is probably where you're going to be at. But it made me think about at what point, and as a teacher, I obviously see this a lot as well, is at what point does the Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy, it's incredibly difficult for me to talk. I forget about the fact that when I mention the Tooth Fairy and I say, you know, oh, some people still believe in fairies. And they go, yes, of course we do, the Tooth Fairy. And I'm like, oh, yes, of course. Yeah, and they ask about unicorns and you're like, oh no, they're just made up, like the fairies and Santa Claus. And they're like, Santa Claus isn't. No, of course he's not.
No, he's fine.
I misspoke. And it's like it's that kind of thing. You've got to be on your game all the time.
I don't know about Stu and Wigo here, but once Violet worked out that you know all of that stuff's not real, you sort of get a bit lax with I found with the younger one, I'm kind of just like, I'm not watching myself, like, you know, like they want, what do you want for Christmas or blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah, I reckon we can get that. And then you're like, oh, okay. If you're paying attention, that was a pretty clear indication there.
Oh, the amount of times I've been hit by saying stuff like that.
Yeah, where I'm like, am I doing that on purpose? Am I encouraging it so then we're done with it?
I'm more so because, you know, I'm so paranoid that Owen's going to say something that stuffs it for Dylan, that I've doubled down on being extra careful. So I'm probably the opposite to...
So how old's Dylan now then? He's 10?
Just turned 10, yeah.
Just turned 10, yeah. So, see, is 10 around the age you think that things start to lose their luster? Childhood starts to... It's the beginning of the end of childhood, so to speak.
He's 12 and... Yeah. I'm pretty sure he still believes in Santa.
Yeah. I reckon high school's the kind of cutoff point for all this kind of stuff.
I think it depends on your kids. Like, Violet was always questioning everything anyway. So she was, I thought she would have gone earlier than she did. Whereas Noelle is more philosophical. And she has actually said things like, I think Santa's real if you believe in him. I think that's how it works.
Yeah. But also, I'm talking in terms of, you know, what you say to your kids as well.
Right.
Tilly's singing, you could probably don't need to give comment on likelihood of career success.
Yeah. The world will crush her dreams. You don't need to.
Exactly. That's their job.
But this is it. I'm trying to soften the blow.
No. You're going to make it worse. She's going to carry that with her.
No. Yeah. Do it. Because the pain of you telling her now that she's no good at it will be significant. But the pain of you trying, like, of someone else in year 7 or 8 making fun of her because she's not good at something would be more. So wait until then. And if she's still adamant she wants to be a singer then, and it's still awful.
Ellis, then, also, that's a bit of dad ego that you've got, I reckon.
Oh, it will be.
You've got dad ego because what you're thinking is that somehow she's going to thank you for breaking her dreams.
Yeah.
No.
Softening it. Thank you, Dad, for softening my fall into reality.
At 5, 6, where are we at?
At 6, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. She's going to harbour a hateful grudge against you forever and prove you wrong. And then you can say, well, I gave her the impetus to do better.
Well,
prove me wrong. That's right. Prove me wrong, kids. I don't know. I think I just, whatever, just leave it. She'll change her mind in a year.
Yeah, things
she'll
will peter out.
Look, I'm well aware of that,
I wanted to be a marine biologist. I wanted to be an architect. I wanted to be a footy player. I was pretty much changed year by year.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you George Costanza? What's going on here? Marine biologist and architect? That's amazing. That's
exactly.
It was before that.
That's great.
So... Yeah,
I wanted to write a sitcom.
not quite as good as my brother, who wanted to be like a nature reserve ranger 1 year and then the next year wanted to be a butcher. it's a touch on their disparate side, those two things.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just kind of, there's a certain... And this is why I'm asking for the advice.
What are you worried about, Ellis? I don't understand. Why
do you need to tell her now?
Yeah, what is the concern, or what? Why? What's the benefit of telling her now?
Is it just that you're sick of listening to it?
that's 90% of it. But yeah, also, I get that. I'm concerned. No, in all seriousness, and when I say that, I of course mean no seriousness whatsoever. no, there is a concern that I don't want her making a fool of herself. Okay.
Oh, Ellis, like, you know, come on now.
You're talking to us.
I know. And this is no, but this is the thing. Like, she is an amazing performer. Like, you know, she's hilarious and she gets up and does, you know, crazy dances and stuff like that. Like, you know, I've got no dramas with her making a dick of herself.
Yeah.
But being a self aware dick, I think, is what makes being a dick funny.
Like, yeah, but know, she's, like, yeah, yeah, you, you've got to give it at least 5 years, Ellis.
I know.
You're going way too early.
I know.
If you're going to tell her that she's awful.
What I want to know, like, you know, yeah.
If you're going to tell her that she's awful at singing and that she should just be a little more aware of that, then do it as she's entering high school, because that's the time when people are going to be really hurtful and nasty.
Sorry, I'm going to interject.
Kind of, it'll meld into the background.
Ellis, I've got a repressed memory that's just bubbled to the surface. So this will help you
Did
out.
Did you want to be a singer, Rich? Is that the problem?
No. This is when I was in year three, I was in the school choir and I was a terrible singer.
Right.
So the head of the teacher that was running the choir came and told me not to sing so loudly.
Oh, right.
So that was made very clear to me then.
You're back in the mix.
Maybe don't sing.
There's probably a bit of that kind of thing there because there are some quite musically talented people in the family, and I've completely missed out on all of that.
Yeah,
and
but so, are you taking
you do a pretty good version of The Rose at karaoke night. We know that. Like, don't sell yourself.
Paranoid Android is the legendary.
The bet doesn't count, though. Let's face facts.
Yeah, but what, Ellis? Here you go. This is the problem. If you tell her she can't sing, what you're actually doing is taking away her joy. Don't do that.
I know, and this is the thing. Like, you know, and I think this is I'm not trying to tell her. Okay, I'm not planning on telling her. This isn't the thing. My thing is how long do you let that conception fester for that I might be good at something before you?
I think when money is involved, I think when she's saying, can I have singing lessons and I need to go to camp? And then you go, oh, I can't afford that. Sorry.
Okay, cool. That's the answer. Just give me the answer. All right. Don't try and coach me out of this bullshit. I'm aware.
What's wrong with my answer? Wait until people are really going to hurt her feelings about it and then tell her.
Oh, because no money, she'll understand.
You can get in early.
Right.
You can get in early.
Okay.
All I have to do is rub my fingers together and she'll go, the taxes, that's why I can't see. Right. That's right. Well, I could have been a great performer. My dad couldn't afford to send me
because
of the taxes. The teachers don't get paid enough.
The heroes, etc.
If only we had a Liberal government in and we'd pay less taxes.
Exactly.
Of the taxes.
All right. I have a question for you. You might have an answer or not. I don't know. I just wanted to throw it in there and see what happens. Now, we know a dad commandment is you must always acknowledge comedy no matter what the circumstances, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about the opposite of that? What happens when your kid isn't funny?
Ooh.
When your kid's trying to be funny and it just falls flat? It's probably similar to breaking dreams here.
So like, do you mean when your child isn't funny in general, or do you mean when they're attempting to be funny and it's not funny?
I mean, if funny,
what's the circuit? What scenario are we talking? Is it around the dinner
supplementary
table?
Supplementary, yeah, like around the dinner table when they go on a run.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the premise isn't quite there, and they're not hitting their marks. You know, and look, you know, they can be funny.
The timing's all off.
Your timing's off. Like, you know they can be funny, and when they are funny, you give them, you know,
kudos for that.
The reaction they deserve. You laugh.
Well, the hard bit is like, when they're genuinely funny, then you laugh because it's funny. But when it's not funny, then how do you convey?
Well, you have to break the dad commandment. That's what you have to do. Like, that's the point in time where you're actually doing them a favor.
But are you breaking a dad commandment? Isn't the commandment that
the commandment is acknowledge funniness when it's there? It's
but
not,
is that other dads or is it any
funny scenario?
Usually, the reason it came about is if your kid's being naughty, but in the process of being naughty, they're funny.
Yeah.
Do you process the naughty part first or the funny part first and react to that?
That is the crux of my parenting right there.
Yeah, exactly. So what I'm saying is what's your parental responsibility when the opposite is true? They're not being funny. They're trying hard. Are you, like, is the best parenting thing to do to just kind of awkwardly kind of, you know, toy with your potatoes?
Buckland, as the recipient of many of your pity laughs over the years, I can honestly say that they'll cotton onto it pretty soon. So,
all right,
I can't
bring myself to pity laugh though. If the jokes are awful,
that bad,
yeah. I want to know.
Well,
I'm not saying do I fake laugh. What I'm saying is, do I just sit there and ignore it, or do I say,
That, you that tell did, them they can't that see. Didn't hit, that's what
that
you're
did not, that did not hit the mark, son.
That's
fair enough.
If you want to be an excellent parent, you workshop it. That didn't hit the mark.
Yeah.
Maybe you're looking at
try again.
Blah, blah, blah. Try again.
Go again. Try
what's
this
a better
time.
Pun? My daughter loves a good pun, and sometimes she'll say a pun and be like, "Nah, what else? What else you got? What else could you come up
come
with?
Come back to me."
Yeah. And then she comes up with also, a stinker, and I'm like, "There you go. Now you're onto something."
There's also the thing of I want to give it room to move,
right?
Because Owen especially
That's a good phrase.
Is a protagonist of the old do it long enough and it'll come back around to being funny.
Trope,
you know what I mean?
So
I don't want to cut it off too short in case it comes back around to being funny. But, you know, I also don't want to be a bad parent letting him run on bad comedy ideas. So
that is isn't it?
That is bad parenting.
So your timing is just as important as his timing.
Correct. So parenting timing influencing the comedy timing.
I think we should probably remind you at this point, Backlund, that Maddie and I are mandatory reporters. So we have a legal obligation to inform the authorities if you're neglecting your child. And if you're allowing poor comedy to proceed, then
timing is so off.
But how do you teach this? Like, timing's timing. You can't teach timing, really.
Of course you can teach timing. It's just not as funny.
Oh,
cool. Well, then what are you teaching?
How do you teach timing?
You learn beat, silence, pause, silence. Beat, pause, beat.
Beat, like, beat, beat.
But timing isn't just pauses. Otherwise, Wigo would be the funniest person on the planet.
I don't think I've clapped on a podcast, Ray. That was amazing. Well done.
Sorry.
Just 80% pauses.
Sorry. Sorry. Sorry, Wigo. I just had a pop at Wigo there. It's been a long joke of ours that that these pauses can be hectic sometimes. As someone who edits a podcast, I usually cut them down. But sorry, Wigo. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, not at all. That's amazing.
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, so you can't teach that. You can't teach that.
I think you can. You've got to show them. You've got to, you know, get them exposed to good comedy. That's the teaching part of it.
Yeah.
All right. Look, I feel that I can progress with this. I just wanted to put it out there as a
very good question.
Conundrum that I've had.
That's an excellent question.
I'm going to be thinking about that much longer than this podcast. Yeah,
well, I mean, hey, we'll come back next year. You might have thought about it some more. We'll talk about it some more. Well, look, you know what, fellas? This is the point in the podcast where I would have asked Monty, had he been here, what he's learned so far. And how he feels that his dad journey has progressed over the course of the podcast this year. So, unfortunately, I'm going to throw it up into you guys. How do you guys feel about, well, what you imagine Monty's learned for a start, and maybe what you've learnt yourself?
My concern, and I'm going to be the negative Nelly here and the devil's advocate, and that's my role in pretty much everything in life. Is that
going to tell us we're bad singers, everyone?
You're god awful. Seriously, you need to go. And, no,
we can't go on together.
No, sorry.
Yeah, that we're feeding into the traditional dad tropes. We're talking golf. We're talking lawns. We're talking meat. And look, I'm not saying that they're not worthy things, but I get a little bit concerned that we're not being as inclusive dads. I'm not saying we need to be woke dads. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm just think that we need to understand that there are many colors to the dad rainbow and allow all the dads to have their opportunity to shine. So moving forward, maybe we could explore some of those different options.
Very fair comment. We're being trope dads rather than real.
We are being very trope dads. And, like, you know, I enjoy golf, but I wouldn't say I'm a golf obsessive. I probably talk more about playing golf on here than I've ever talked to anyone about playing golf. That's my concern with the
podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think it's a dad vortex?
No, I get that. But
it's a dad echo chamber. Is that what's happening?
A little bit. Let's be clear, though. Golf isn't the focus. Being alone is the focus.
Yeah.
And I think that was something that I reflected on as well. And that was the big takeaway from it, was it had nothing to do with the actual sport. It was about the aloneness of dadness. And so,
fair enough. I think I should point out quickly too, when we say that we're alone, we need the alone time. It is just like a bit of respite and a bit of kind of centering and so on. You know, if we take our desire for aloneness too far, it may just end up in us not being in a family anymore. Let's just be clear about what we mean about that.
Yeah. That was my concern. I had a bit of a crisis of conscience sitting there the other day going, are we giving good dad advice or are we just kind of feeding into these, as I say, these well-established tropes and stereotypes of the white Aussie dads playing their golf, drinking their beer and eating their meat. And I don't think that's what we're really about as dads. No, I would hate for anyone listening to this podcast to think that was all
it was about. You know, we try and keep it light, but we...
I know, yeah.
But we can obviously, I'm more than happy to talk about anything on here. Matt or Ben, takeaways from what you've heard?
Something positive, maybe?
I just like the fact that me doing being super alone in a flotation tank has got everyone chasing the dream to be Kurt Russell.
That is just the
absolutely.
Best thing ever.
I'm looking into it. Ben has already, we know.
Yeah. Go for it.
Ben? That's what I'm getting for Christmas.
Oh, Ben, fantastic. You'll love it.
Oh, great. Season takeaways, Ben.
Pardon me, sorry.
There's no time for coughing. There's less than a minute.
I just got all choked up. Yeah, well, I know. I'm just really glad that Monty got some very specific points that helped him during the birth of his child.
Yeah.
I think
he may have been being polite, though. I don't know if he actually meant that we helped him or not.
We're supposed to be being positive, Stu.
Sorry.
So I think the little things can make a big difference. And I think, and hopefully that has for him.
Awesome. All right. Well, Monty, we're sorry that you're not here, but it's kind of apt for the Dad Pants podcast final episode for the season that you're being a good dad and concentrating on your child instead of talking garbage with.
And that is it for us for the year, a year that has obviously had the most significant change imaginable for Monty and Lindsay, becoming parents. It's so hard to describe the shift, I think, to people who want to have a child or are expecting a child. It's just such a significant gear change in the brain. A big thank you to all of you for listening and supporting, following on social media, giving us reviews, etc. All that great stuff. We really appreciate it. So until next time we speak, dad on, everybody. Dad on. This is an Angry Chimp podcast.